Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3 is in the Old Testament between Genesis and Malachi. If you find the book of Jeremiah, go one book forward and it would be Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. I want to read verses 22 and 23. So Lamentations chapter 3, starting at verse 22. The Bible says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you this morning for your goodness towards us. We thank you, Father, for your mercy, your love, your grace. Thank you, Father, for just giving us another day to wake up. Another day to come be among God's people, to sit in your presence, to hear from heaven, to be guided by your Spirit. Lord, I ask that you would encourage our hearts today, that you would renew our spirit, helping us, Lord, to be refreshed, to be encouraged. Lord, as we enter in a new week, Father, I pray that you would have your way with us this hour. Father, we ask that you would establish our thoughts. You promise that if we commit our way to you, that you would establish our thought. And Father, we commit this hour to you because we want to hear from heaven. We want to be challenged by your word, encouraged by your word. We want to be helped by your word. Your word that's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides, Lord, it really divides our thoughts. It helps us to know what's true and what's not true. It is a lamp unto our feet, showing us where we're at spiritually. It is a light unto our path, showing us where you want us to go. Father, we ask that you would be glorified in everything that's said and done, be glorified in our lives. Thank you for the righteousness of Christ that we're robed in. Father, we ask that you would bless in a very special way the children in junior church, open up their hearts and minds just like you did in Sunday school, helping them to understand the Bible lesson, allowing the word of God to take root in their heart to bring forth much fruit to your glory and to their good. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to talk to us about remembering God's faithfulness. Now we all know that God is faithful. God cannot but be faithful. He is a faithful God, but sometimes we need to remind ourselves of God's faithfulness so we remember that God is always there for us, that his provisions are exactly what we need. He's always on time. He's never late. Even when we think he's late, he's always on time. Now, sometimes, again, as Christians, we fail to remember the many blessings of God, yet God is always faithful, and that is what these two verses remind us in Lamentations. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The psalmist said in Psalm 105, "Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." Remember his marvelous works. Never forget the marvelous works that God's done in your life. Now, yourself, myself, and the devil always wants to remember the bad, always wants to remember the things that have not gone the way that we wanted them to. But the Holy Spirit inside of us wants us to always remember the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, and what God has done for us. His mercies truly are new every morning. The psalmist said in Psalm 77, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings." As you remember the faithfulness of God in your life, talk about the faithfulness of God. If all we ever do is complain about what's wrong in our life, what we don't like, then that's all we think about, and it really will grip our hearts and help us not to be loving and thankful towards God. But if we talk about the goodness of God, if we'll talk about his faithfulness and what he's done for us, it'll help us to have a right heart. Because remember, the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, by the mighty hand of God, God delivered them. They could not deliver themselves. God delivered them, but yet they complained in the wilderness. They complained that God brought them out there to kill them. They said, we remember the leeks and onions back in Egypt. They remember the things they were eating, but they were not remembering they were in bondage. They were being beaten by the taskmasters. They were being mistreated by the Egyptians because they thought God's way was harder than where they were. They weren't remembering correctly. And we want to always remember correctly the faithfulness of God. And there's several things I want us to think about in reverence or in reference to God's faithfulness. And the first one I want us to think about that may sound a little strange is that God is faithful to forget. God is faithful to forget. And you might think, well, if God is all-knowing, what could he possibly forget? I'm glad you asked. If you've got your Bibles, open them up. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. And this is one thing I'm glad that God is faithful to forget. And once you look at Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, you will be reminded to be thankful that he does forget. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 12. The Bible says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. This is God. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. The moment that you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and to be your Savior, he washed you clean from all your filthiness. You were washed in the blood of the Lamb. And as you ask the Lord to forgive you, even now, as you ask God at different times to forgive you for maybe a bad attitude or a bad thought or not spending enough time with him, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Bible also says that he remembers our iniquity no more. As far as the east is from the west, he remembers no more. He's faithful to forget when we ask for that forgiveness. For I will be merciful to the unrighteous, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And by his mercy, you and I are sustained. We're not consumed. The Bible again says back in Lamentations that he is merciful. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, God says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God understands our frame is but dust. He knows that we'll have bad days where we're not as joyful as we should be. We're not as thankful as we should be because something else has our attention. But yet God is merciful. The Holy Spirit reminds us to look unto the author and finisher of our faith. Reminds us of the grace and love and mercy of God. The Holy Spirit encourages us through the mercy of God. Reminding us this morning that the mercy of God means kindness. Mercy means kindness towards one who did not deserve it. And there's not a single person that deserves the love of God, but it's his mercy. There's not a single person that deserves to have their sins forgiven, but the mercy of God, because of God's love. Every person needs God's mercy. God's mercy especially rests upon you, his people. Because of God's immutable character, his mercy keeps us from being consumed. The psalmist said in Psalm 86, verse 15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Aren't you glad this morning that your God is full of compassion? When he looks at you, he sees you robed in the righteousness of Christ. If you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're accepted in the Beloved. He looks at you. He knows you by name. He loves you. And when you physically feel weary, he's there to hold you up. He's there to guide you. He's there to fill you with his grace, his strength. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 30, for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. God always brings joy in the morning. Again, there's many examples in Scripture of those that were having a hard time through the night, but yet when the sun broke, it brought joy. It brought hope for a new day. And God is the creator of the day and night. There's marvelous things to see at night. If you can get out of the city and get away from the city lights and look up in a cloudless sky, and you see the stars, you can see the Milky Way, you can see all the different angles of the stars and just see the beauty of it. And if you watch long enough, you'll see a shooting star. But there's something about the sun rising. There's something about a new day. Because it truly does encourage the heart that whatever it was we were facing yesterday, whatever it was that was burdening us yesterday, we lived through it. God brought us through it to see another day. And it gives us hope that if God be for us, who can be against us? God is faithful in forgetting our sins when we ask for forgiveness. He is faithful in forgetting our shortcomings. Because he sees Christ in your life. He sees you as his child because he gave you the power to become the sons of God, an heir of God, joint heirs with Christ. In Psalm 106, the psalmist said, many times did he deliver me. How many times can you think where God delivered you out of a hard situation or delivered you from some type of where you needed an answer? And you could not figure something out, and God brought it to your mind. God showed you an answer to it. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. God's faithful never to forget you. You never escape God's thoughts because he has thoughts of peace towards you. You never escape God's eye gate. He always sees you wherever you're at. He sees your struggles. He sees your joys. He's always there. Even when sometimes you don't even feel his presence, he's there. Many times you feel like he's not helping you, but he is. Sometimes he does allow things to happen, but it's for our good. As I think about the life of Joseph being sold into slavery, Joseph, never lost sight of God. Though he was a slave in Potiphar's house, he ended up in prison. He ended up being forgotten by the butler who Joseph helped him interpret his dream and asked him, "Don't forget me." And yet he was forgotten for two more years, yet Joseph allowed his heart to stay in tune with God. Though the flesh was weary, though the flesh wanted to complain and deny the Lord, yet he wouldn't allow his spirit to. And the Lord sustained his spirit. The Lord gave him the grace and the mercy he needed because he knew God had not forgotten him. Never forget that God will never forget you. Never let the enemy convince you of a lie that God has deserted you. God will never leave you nor forsake you because God cannot forget his promises towards you. By God's mercy, we are supplied. We have a supply from our Heavenly Father because he says his compassions fail not. And to fail means to be exhausted, to come to an end. But God cannot be exhausted. There is no end to God. God's compassion never will be exhausted or fail. He will always supply completely what you need. Philippians 4 and verse 19 reminds us, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." What is it that you may need this morning? What is it that you may need this week? God can supply that for you. But let your heart be all about wanting God and not what it is he can do for you. God will supply, but like we learned in Sunday school, the rich young ruler came to Jesus asking, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus gave him a list of things to do because he knew that's where his heart was, making his own way, earning his own way to heaven. But then when the young man said, I've done all of this, what lack I yet? And the Lord said, sell all you have, give to the poor, take up your cross and follow me, and you'll have treasures in heaven. But he went away sad. Let your heart truly have a desire for God. Let God be your desire. Let Jesus Christ be the one that you know will supply everything you need, physically, emotionally, spiritually. There's nothing he cannot do for you. There's nothing he cannot help you with. And what he wants to do the most, I believe, is to show you his grace, that his grace is sufficient. His grace is the strength that we need when we are weak. And he will always supply completely and continuously. In Psalm chapter 37, the Bible says, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Now listen, the devil wants us to think that God has forsaken us. The devil wanted the Israelites in the Old Testament to really believe God had forsaken, that God had brought them out into the desert 3 days' journey to leave them there to kill them. But yet God brought them out there to show his greatness, to show his love. And he provided manna. He provided water out of rock. He provided quail. But yet his desire was for the people to desire him above all those things. But he does continually provide for us. And there were times where the Lord would kill off. In the Old Testament, we would see he would kill off those that were lusting after the quail instead of desiring God. He would allow his people to go into slavery, to go into captivity, yet never forsaking them, but helping them, helping their hearts to turn back to him. There are times where we do go through difficulties of life, whether it's a job loss, whether it's a relationship, whether it's financial disaster, something in your life that God allows not to destroy you, not to push you away from him, but to draw you to him, to help us to see that, you know what, I have gotten my eyes off of Christ. I've gotten my heart away from the Lord. Solomon thought 1,000 wives would make him happy, but they drew his heart away from God. There's things in our life that we think, this will make me happy. This will make me be more faithful to God. This will make me be more faithful to prayer, more faithful to Bible reading, but it doesn't. In the end, it doesn't, because we're looking for something to help us instead of someone. And that someone is our Savior. He's the one that can truly supply what we need. He can truly continuously supply what we need. And what you and I need the most is strength. Strength for every single day. Take your Bibles. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And look at verse 16. It's one of the things your enemy wants you to forget. Your enemy wants you to forget that you have a place to go that's a haven. A place that is peaceful. A place that is joyful. A place that is relaxing. And you might be thinking, Hawaii? No. Tennessee, the mountains? No. It's the presence of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's the presence of God. Because the psalmist reminds us that in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. There's times where you and I are weary. There's times where you and I are physically tired, mentally wore out, spiritually drained. And the Holy Spirit of God desires us to go to the Lord, to withdraw from things, put the cell phone down, turn off the TV. If you still have a landline phone, unplug it. Whatever it is that is a distraction in your life, set it aside and spend some time with God, having your spirit refreshed, having your mind cleansed so you can think clearly, and having your heart renewed. Being in that right place, in the place, in the presence of God. God's not only faithful to forget our shortcomings and our sin, but He's faithful to feed us. He's faithful to feed us. Now, we like to eat. We eat our breakfast, we eat our lunch, we eat our dinner, and we eat snacks in between. Talking about people in general. Sometimes we go on diets. Sometimes the diets fail because somebody, you know, tempts you with, you know, donuts the size of a spare tire at a wedding. But God knows what we need most. And that food we need is His Word. When you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, and when you look at verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." The only way that you and I can spiritually grow is through the Word of God. The only way that you and I can continually be spiritually encouraged is by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That verse, when you read in context, mainly is speaking about salvation. Someone hears the gospel over and over, will help them to have faith in Jesus Christ. But it also means that you and I, as God's people, need to grow in the Word of God. We need the Word of God to help us to grow spiritually, to help our faith to grow, to help us to be encouraged, to be reminded that, you know what, God is faithful. God's never left us. Listen, there's not a single one of us that does not have something in our life that we regret. It's not God's fault. It was not God's fault the children of Israel would go into captivity over and over and over again, because they would always turn their back away from God. They would go after their own desire instead of following God, and God would allow them to go in captivity, not to destroy them, but to turn their hearts back to Him. And when they cried out to God, He'd always deliver them. He'd always bring them back into the promised land. He'd always bring them back into His presence and lavish them with His love and His mercy and His blessings. But God feeds us faithfully through His Word. He nourishes us, as Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16 tells us, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Why would Jeremiah say that? Why would Jeremiah say that the word of God was unto him the joy and rejoicing of his heart? Because nothing can rejoice the heart of a child of God like the word of God. That reminds us of His faithfulness. And you might think to yourself, well, I don't get a lot of joy reading through the book of Numbers or through the book of Deuteronomy or through the whole list of names I cannot pronounce. You know what? I had a problem years ago trying to read through those list of names that are always listed, getting frustrated. I couldn't pronounce them right. And even times I just would skip over the whole chapters of those names and think, what's the point of all of that? Until one day when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Is your name written down in a book somewhere?" And I thought, it is. It's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And from that moment on, I realized those names I could not pronounce were there for a reason. Because God knows every single one of them. Just like He knows every single one of you that's sitting here this morning and knows you by name. When Mary heard Jesus in the garden after He rose from the grave, and she's crying, not knowing where the body of Christ is, not knowing who the man is standing before her, because she's so upset. And when He says, "Mary, Mary,
That voice broke through the tears. That voice broke through the sadness of her heart, and she rejoiced at hearing his voice and hearing the voice of God breathe her name. It brought relief. It brought peace. I hope that you've experienced God speaking your name at times in your life. It's not an audible voice, but it's a soft, still voice behind us, as the Bible says. You know, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. The devil wants your life to be full of loudness, confusion. He doesn't want the child of God to hear the comforting voice of God that rejoices the heart, that helps us to get things back into perspective. God is faithful to feed us through his word that never changes, his word that is faithful, his word that's enduring, his word that is eternal, his word that encourages, enlightens. It furnishes everything we need to live the life that God's given us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul encouraged Timothy, I believe, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. His word also encourages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God, or when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men. Never stop believing that you have the word of God. The moment that you and I stop believing we have the word of God is the moment we stop following God, stop trusting God, the moment that God stops speaking. Because if you don't believe that God speaks through his word, you're not going to hear his voice. You're not going to be guided. You're not going to be comforted. You're not going to have the shield of faith. Because the shield of faith that we hold up tells me this is the word of God. He's given me his word to guide me through this life, to even show me that, you know what, I'm not alone. There are others living a life where they have to be faithful to God, where they have to resist the devil and draw nigh unto God. Somebody once said the Bible is a window in this prison or world through which we may look into eternity. This world is temporal. The life that you're living now is not eternal. The relationships you'd rather not be in, the jobs you'd rather not work, the difficulties you'd rather not face, those are all temporal. But there's a relationship with God that's eternal. There's a place in heaven that's eternal. God's given us his word to help us through this life. May we as God's people never neglect his word, his faithful word. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me, or made me alive. God is so faithful to do so many things in our life. God is faithful to forgive. He's faithful to forget. He's faithful to help us at times, but he's faithful to forgive, and we're thankful that we have a Heavenly Father that does forgive and forget. We live in a world that never forgives. Though some person that's not walking with the Lord may say, okay, I forgive you, but they never forget because they'll bring it up at different times. Yet God never does. His mercy is always seen in his forgiveness. Psalm 103 reminds us, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. In Psalm 32, he said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
God's faithful to forgive our mistakes. Why? Because he loves you. Because he bought you with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Because you mean more to him than anything else. Your faith is more precious than gold. We value things in life that hold no value with God. God values things that are truly valuable, and that's you. You are truly valuable. There may be somebody in your life that doesn't think you're valuable. God would disagree. Because if you and I were not valuable, God would not have laid down his life on the cross of Calvary and paid for your sins. You know, in Romans chapter 12, it tells us that we have a reasonable service to God. And that reasonable service is to let God have our life. To let God control our life. To let God direct our life. To let God bless our life. You and I have been forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 reminds us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Again, God forgives. Man may not forgive. The devil's the accuser of the brethren, always bringing up our failures. Even if they were 50 years ago, he still wants to remind us of our failures to try to keep us under his thumb, that he cannot keep us under his thumb because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been given new life through Christ. But yet the devil wants us to believe a lie and live in the past, and yet we've been forgiven. And we are forgiven because of Jesus Christ. 1 John 2 verse 12 reminds us, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Whose name's sake? Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. God, the faithful. God's so faithful that he never forgets to allow your heart to keep beating when you're sleeping at night. I'm amazed at times I have sleep apnea that's pretty bad. And I have not used a CPAP machine in probably a year, because I can't get the parts for it. Having issues with insurance and stuff, but okay, so I sleep in a recliner every night so that I can breathe, because if I lay flat, I'll stop breathing. And he's faithful to wake me up every morning. I've been diagnosed with a heart condition that if not operated on at some point, I'll die. But he's faithful to allow me to wake up today. What am I saying? We all have our health issues. We all have things in our life that are not what we would choose. But we serve a faithful God who deserves our faithfulness. Not the way we think we should be faithful, but the way that God deserves us to be faithful. Walking with him, enjoying his presence, letting him have his way with us. If he wants to lead us into a desert like he did the Israelites in the Old Testament, so be it. Because what did they find in the wilderness? They found the faithfulness of God, feeding them, giving them water out of a rock. They saw the presence of God on Mount Sinai. They were afraid, but they saw the presence of God. They saw the glory of Jesus Christ on Mount Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John were the only three to see Jesus transformed in all his glory. Brighter than the noonday sun, you and I have seen the glory of God in our own life. And you might think to yourself, when? Please don't miss it. You see his glory every day. He reveals it every day. You and I have to be looking. You and I have to be desiring. It may just be in the fact that it's a beautiful day. Sure, are there bad things? Are there difficult things in your life, maybe at this moment? Yes. But what's better,
focusing on what's wrong or focusing on who's faithful? Who's faithful to you and me every day? First John chapter 1, verse 9 reminds us, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There are so many verses throughout the Bible that speak of God's faithfulness. But this one verse in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, I think is a powerful testimony to God's faithfulness. You realize that at any moment you can ask God for his forgiveness with a repentant heart, a sorrowful heart, being sorry for whatever it is, and God will say, "What are you talking about?" Because before you even ask for forgiveness, God's already given it. He's already given it. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Always remember, we're still sinners saved by grace. Doesn't mean we're to live in sin. I think one of the biggest sins of a child of God is unbelief. Not believing that God is faithful and that God can help us. And that God deserves all the praise and glory due unto his name. Never doubt the faithfulness of God, even when you can't see what he's doing. He's still there. He has not left you. He has not forsaken you. He hasn't dropped you out of his hand. Because Jesus said that we're in his hand and we're in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We serve a faithful God. Let your mind be renewed through the power of God's word. Let your heart be encouraged by the faithfulness of God's word. Let your eyes be cleansed through the eye salve of God's word. Lord, help me to see clearly through the eyes of Christ. Remember, Elisha had a servant who was afraid when he woke up and saw the city surrounded by an enemy army that had been sent to take Elisha, because Elisha kept telling the king of Israel, I believe it was the Syrian king, kept telling what their plans were. And it was told that the man of God, Elisha, was telling the king of Israel all the plans. So they wanted Elisha, and they came to take Elisha. And the servant was afraid because all he could see was the enemy. Elisha was not afraid. Elisha came out. He viewed, he saw. I don't know, maybe he was drinking a cup of coffee and looking around. But he was not worried. And he asked God to open the eyes of the servant so the servant could see that there's more with us than them. And when God opened up the eyes spiritually of that servant, he saw in the mountains surrounding the enemy, God's army that's innumerable, God's angels that watch over God's people. God has your life in his hands, and God wants us to be reminded he's faithful. We serve a faithful God, so let us continue to be faithful to him. Faithfully trusting him, faithfully holding up the word in our life, and letting him guide us.